I'm going to call to order a regular meeting for the Gilbert Beach City Council for Monday, June 6, 2011. And would you all please stand and rise with us for a moment of silence for the brave men and women of the U.S. Armed Forces that have paid the ultimate price for our freedoms? Thank you. One of our favorite parts of our meeting is that we have the youth come down and lead us in our flag salute, and this is a tradition we've been doing for a couple of years. So tonight, Sarah Brito is going to lead us in our flag salute. She is 12 years old and a sixth grade student at Grover Heights Elementary School. She says that this has been a great year. She enjoyed the friendship she has made with her teachers and fellow students, and also enjoyed the academic portion of school. Sarah has lived on the Central Coast for her whole life, is moving out of town soon. You're leaving us. She can't believe that she is leaving the beach she loves. One of her most memorable birthday parties was at the beach. And in her free time, Sarah enjoys playing softball, singing, and acting. She would like to pursue an education in musical theater. And Sarah is accompanied this evening, I believe, by her stepdad, Michael, and her grandmother. Right? Is there anyone else, Sarah? Would you like to lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Sarah. Why don't you come up here with you? Roll call.
Here.
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 Here. Thank you, Donna. City Attorney, can you cover our closed session announcements this evening?
Certainly. Honorable Mayor, Council Members, in the last Council meeting, the City Council met on three items in closed session. First one being conference with labor negotiations on all employee groups. Second one being existing litigation, City of Grover Beach versus Grover Beach Inn, Listio et al. And the last one being one item of anticipated litigation. Following the closed session, the City Council reconvened into open session, and there were no reportable actions.
Thank you, City Attorney. Okay, let's move on to our agenda review. This is where the Council reviews the agenda as presented by staff and decides if we want to make any adjustments to the agenda. Do any members of the Council want to revise the order of the agenda?
Do we want to move the improvement agency up due to the issues involved?
No, we're gonna. We will go through our agenda, and we'll make adjustments as need be, because there are other folks who are here for other items that are important as well. But thank you for that request.
I'll move that we accept the agenda as published.
I'll second that.
Okay, there is a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. And I know that there are a lot of folks here for there's a couple of items, and we will do city's business as swiftly as we can. We don't want to keep you here all night, so just bear with us. Let's move on to our ceremonial calendar, and this is item number one. And this is a drawing to select monthly winners of the Local Economic Stimulus Program Shop Local, Shop Loyal campaign, and this is Shop in Niagara, Grover Beach. So we're going to break from tradition, and I'm just going to pull 10 winners. Does that sound good?
Only if you pull my name.
Okay, so Kathy, are you here? Someone here to take good notes? Okay, the first winner, Marnie Barrett.
Good job, Marnie.
Come on.
I've seen her out shopping.
All right, I promise I won't look. Second winner is Mark Rogers. Third winner is Gary Cooper.
Gary Cooper.
Huh. Glenn Chapman.
How many is that?
That is
seven.
Seven.
Three, six, seven.
Debbie Peterson.
Oh my goodness.
Oh,
yay.
Yeah.
I've seen her out shopping.
Bet you have. Judy Puma.
Good.
And one more, right?
Yep.
Duke Sterling.
Ooh, double Duke. Wow.
But I think this is probably Duke's wife because it's a little address sticker with lovely hearts on it. So,
Mrs. Duke Sterling.
There you go. We'd like to thank everyone for participating in the program because we really want you to be shopping local. It really helps the local economy and the businesses. So thanks, everyone. So we're going to move on to item number 2, and this is a proclamation declaring June 6th and 7th, 2011, as a Special Olympics Law Enforcement Torch Run. And Chief Copsier, are you here? Oh, there you are. So I'm going to read this. This is a proclamation of the City Council of the City of Grover Beach declaring June 6th and 7th, 2011, as Special Olympics Law Enforcement Torch Run Days. And it says, whereas each year law enforcement officers join together to run the Special Olympics Torch through San Luis Obispo County, and whereas hundreds of thousands of law enforcement officers give their time to protect our communities every day, and whereas hundreds of thousands of athletes participate in Special Olympics activities annually, and whereas the efforts of countless volunteers make the Special Olympics possible, and whereas on June 6th and 7th, 2011, law enforcement officers will carry the Special Olympics torch throughout San Luis Obispo County and send it on its way down to California State University at Long Beach to open Special Olympics of Southern California Summer Games, and whereas at this year's meet, many of our area's finest young people and adults will be competing in a variety of sports, enjoying the joy of athletic competition and learning the importance of doing one's best in a spirit of sportsmanship. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Grover Beach does hereby proclaim June 6th and 7th, 2011, as Special Olympics Law Enforcement Torch Run Days, acknowledges the hard work of the event organizers and congratulates the athletes and officers in their accomplishments. So, Chief Copsey.
Does anyone know when the torch run comes through the city?
Good question. Chief Copsey.
Because I know it goes down Grand.
Oh. I'm sorry. Thank you for asking that. Tomorrow morning, we will leave the Pismo Coast Village. Pismo Beach runs it through their city in the morning. We pick them up roughly about 8:30-ish, between 8 and 8:30, depending on how fast they run. And then we run it up Highway 1, up Grand Avenue through City Hall, and then we hand off the torch to Royal Grandy about where Cortland is on Grand Avenue. So if you have business downtown, watch. We've got a number of people running. If you want to come run with us, that's great, and participate in the event. Thanks.
Very good. Okay, let's move on to our public communications this evening. This is where any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total any item within the jurisdiction of this council. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on any items that are not on the agenda. So this is the time for you to speak for any items that are not on our agenda this evening. If there is an item on the agenda that you'd like to speak to, I will give you ample time when that item comes up. So is there anyone that would like to address the council during public communications this evening? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Good evening, Council, and everybody here, and all you out in the TV audience. Jeff Pynack, Oceano resident and Surf Rider chair. We've been, of course, it's nice to see you all again. We've been coming for a few months. Same topic. Of course, there's lots of news for all you TV viewers. Sewage spill was likely preventable. Oceano sewage spill that happened in December. You can read it in the Tribune, read all about it. But probably more important is the other article here. Grand jury sees ethical lapse. And, of course, there's a report by the grand jury because evidently some citizens brought the unethical behavior at our sewage treatment plant and in our county for the last 25 years with John Wallace and Wallace Company, Wallace Engineering. So the Wallace Group, actually. So I'm going to read a little bit of that, and I thank Cynthia Lambert for doing some accurate reporting and for really started looking into the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, which serves AG, Grover Beach, and Oceano, after receiving several complaints about its operational and management practices, according to a report issued Thursday. Grand jurors, and you can find that online, and Brad will give you some ways to find that. Grand jurors concluded that the board and the district are quote, exposed to a number of financial, legal, and public trust issues stemming from the relationship between the district administrator, John Wallace, and his private engineering firm, the San Luis Obispo-based Wallace Group, which provides engineering services to the district. And by the way, provides engineering services to the plant in SLO as well, and to many of our municipalities around here, and probably does other work for Grover Beach in addition to, and I'm not sure about that, but probably does. Grand jurors found three major issues in its investigation. Wallace has a conflict of interest in his dual role as administrator of the treatment plant's facilities and position as the majority owner of Wallace Group. The three-member board has failed to recognize the existence of the conflict, that's the South Sanitation Board, and hasn't taken action. And Wallace's contract is 25 years old and has, quote, never been evaluated, rebid, or modified in any way except for approved increases in hourly billing rates. I'll be finished in just a second. I have about 9 seconds. Mike Seitz, attorney for the Wallace Group, said, I don't think they accurately reflect what's going on at the district. Okay, and of course, okay. I read this one to you last week, and I'm stopping. This was the letter from Stephen Mintz, the professor of accounting, who wrote about South County
okay, Mr.
Sanitation
Parnak.
District violates basic ethics standards.
Thank you
very much.
Is there anyone else? Come forward to state your name and city of residence for the record.
Good evening, board. My name is Brad Snook. I'm the volunteer coordinator for our county's chapter of the Surfrider
Foundation. Hang on a second there, Brad. I'm sorry. I thought we were having some technical difficulties. Have we got those resolved?
We hope so.
I didn't want to interrupt Jeff, but go ahead, Brad.
He was on a roll.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to say briefly, this is going on 4 months that Jeff and I have been involved in doing that. And that's how long our county's chapter of the Surfrider Foundation has been asking stakeholder councils to vote on authorizing an independent investigation of potential malfeasances by plant administrator Wallace Group at our sanitation district's wastewater treatment plant. During that time, the sanitation district directors, Ferrara and Nichols, have steadfastly opposed this investigation. With the critical findings of the civil grand jury now publicly available, it is time for this council to vote and ask the representative on our sanitation district's board of directors to authorize an independent investigation. We know that former director Jim Hill of Oceano supported this investigation. He called our wastewater treatment plant management myopic. We know that many citizens from our three stakeholder cities have supported our take action opportunity and showed their support for an investigation. Others can still send their representatives a take action email statement through our website, slo.surfrider.org. We know that the State Water Board continues to focus on the inadequacies of our wastewater treatment plant and that the former chief plant operator is still on medical leave. It has been documented in the press that this chief plant operator disagreed with the amount of sewage that spilled into the streets and waters of Oceano in December. Mr. Wallace has documented the spill of 384,000 gallons, while the chief plant operator estimated over 1 million. 384,000 gallons is only about 14% of the normal 2.8 million gallons that usually passes through the plant every day. I'm not an engineer, but I would think the Water Board will have reasons to be suspicious of Mr. Wallace's calculations. We know the former chief plant operator disagreed. We know that the Sanitation District Board of Directors spent $14,000 on a previous investigation. The grand jury reviewed that previous investigation's findings, saying it was ineptly performed and the investigators' conclusions were not substantiated. We know that our community leaders have been slow to engage necessary changes on many levels. At your next meeting, we ask that you vote to request an independent investigation.
Put public communications and bring it back to the council. And then let's move into our public hearings this evening. And this is item number 3. And this is a request for a waiver of underground utility requirements due to impracticality for development permit application number 10-029. Public Works Director Gray Ray.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council. I appreciate the introduction. Item 3 tonight is a request, you've already read the title, for waiver of underground utility requirements. The project applicant for both the project and for the waiver is the Filipino Community Center. I might mention that I believe there's a few members that I recognize actually from a previous meeting here representing the Filipino Community Center tonight. The project site is a 33,125 square foot parcel. It's developed with a 3,836 square foot community center, a 410 square foot detached storage building, a 250 square foot patio cover for an outdoor barbecue, and parking for 60 vehicles. The service lines were previously undergrounded when the project was built in about 1978 in accordance with city requirements that were in place at that time. However, the previous city requirements did not require undergrounding of the overhead utility lines on the property frontage. On March 15, 2011, the Planning Commission approved a proposal from the Filipino Community Center to add a 470 square foot storage room to the existing community center building. Staff also added into that application two existing structures because it was unclear whether or not those structures were previously permitted. On December 6, 2004, Council adopted an underground utility ordinance 0415, and that ordinance requires that main utility lines along property frontages be undergrounded for all construction projects unless the project qualifies for one of the specific exemptions provided for in the ordinance. Council could consider waiving all or part of the requirements under specific cases of hardship, and those include the undergrounding of the overhead utility lines would create a substantial financial hardship, undergrounding the overhead utilities would be impractical, or undergrounding of the overhead utilities would not be in the best interest of the city or the public. Tonight, the applicant is approximately $79,500. It's estimated that the total cost of all the improvements, not just the improvements that the applicant applied for with the Planning Commission, but the additional two improvements that were added by staff, have a total value of approximately $39,000. As you can see, the estimated cost of undergrounding is almost double the cost of the improvements. Staff believes the findings that the undergrounding requirement would be impractical can be made because of the cost of undergrounding the utility lines and the comparison to the cost of the improvements. Following alternatives are provided for Council to consider. They include adopt the resolution granting the waiver of the underground utility requirements, adopt the resolution denying a waiver of the underground utility requirements, or provide additional direction to staff. Staff is recommending that Council 1. Conduct the public hearing, receive testimony, and 2. Adopt the resolution granting the waiver of underground utility requirements. As I mentioned earlier, there are representatives from the Filipino Community Center here this evening, and that does conclude my presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Ray. Nice staff report. Any questions of staff? Councilmember Bright and then Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
Thank you. The 23% increase in covered space, is there some percentage of covered space that triggers this requirement?
There is not, no.
Okay, so it could have been, even if we didn't even take into consideration the improvements over the past 10 years,
right,
they still would have been subject to this provision.
It's true. For a commercial project, and this is considered a commercial project, it's basically any commercial project imposes the requirements of undergrounding overhead utilities along the property frontage.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
That answers my question.
Okay. Councilmember Peterson.
I have a couple of questions. In the the fees for what's being done right now, are you then picking up the fees for the two improvements that perhaps weren't caught earlier? Are they being charged for those?
You know, I'm not aware of that. I apologize. I wasn't involved in the Planning Commission action, mm-hmm. so I would assume we did, yeah, because they were included in the application.
Okay, and so that was my other question. This has gone to the Planning Commission, and what was the Planning Commission response?
The Planning Commission recommended approval of the project, okay, but they don't weigh in on the waiver of the underground utility fee, okay, cost. They requested that option in advance of the application or before it went to Planning Commission. At this point, there's maybe still some potential, and the city attorney may want to weigh in on that.
In answer to your question, Mayor, Council Members, Councilman Molnar, condition is a standard condition of approval. So when a Planning Commission looks at a project, undergrounding of utilities is when required, is a standard condition of the project. So the project moves forward with that condition attached to it. The applicant has an option of coming in and asking for a waiver based on three criteria. The one that staff believes is applicable here is that it's simply not practical to ask them to underground something that would probably run far in excess of what the estimated in lieu fee is for a project that total value of which is about $30,000.
Have other commercial projects had these fees waived?
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm not aware of any other project that came before the Planning Commission or the City Council with these parameters on a waiver. Council did approve some in lieu fees in the past, but not on a commercial development. Okay.
And how did the amount of this come? Who came up with this amount? Is this having to do with PG&E because these are their lines? You know, their poles, or is this something that the city came up with these fees?
The in-lieu fee, when adopted, the policy when adopted by City Council based upon estimates that were provided by the city engineer, which were based upon his contact with PG&E. Generally speaking, the in-lieu fee was a less expensive option from undergrounding. That's why it was one of the provisions, one of the options that was provided by council action as a policy to those who wish to avail themselves of it.
Okay. The only thought is this will set a precedent for other future commercial projects, and that could be a concern. I understand that it would be a hardship, but, you know, I think that's something that should be considered.
I think you'll find that staff spent quite a bit of time discussing the potential for this, you know, creating a precedent. And I think what you'll find is that this project is somewhat unusual in that, first of all, the cost of the proposed improvement is really so obviously out of scope because of the cost of improvements versus the estimated cost of undergrounding that it makes it fairly easy to make that recommendation.
Do these lines feed other property?
Yes, they do.
Okay, so basically we're asking one property owner to pay the cost of undergrounding, but it wouldn't affect other people's lines. Because are we talking about, you know, going all of the lines on the pole going underground?
All of the lines that they are capable of undergrounding.
Which would include other people's?
Well, so the way it works is between poles, most of the lines basically are carrying the primary power that then goes to what we'd call service lines. Those service lines typically come from the pole itself to the properties. Occasionally you'll see a midline tap, but usually it's directly from the pole or from a transformer. So what they'd be undergrounding would be between the poles, which is the major trunk line, if you will, carrying all power up and down the block.
Oh, that's PG&E should pay for that. Okay, thank you.
Go, John.
I'm not going to ask questions, but I there's two points I think bears some. Well, maybe I do have a question. So the Planning Commission approved 470 square feet of storage space. Who made the determination to include structures that apparently you couldn't determine had permits? I'm just kind of curious where that call came from, and is there anything in our procedures that allows that to be done?
And I will defer ultimately to the Community Development Director, but I believe that the applicant, in communicating with staff, with planning staff, agreed that all of the improvements that were on site that could not be identified as permitted should be included in the application, and the entire application came before the Planning Commission.
Okay. I don't want to get stuck in the weeds on this, because obviously what's before us today is there's an application to waive fees, and as staff has said, the in lieu fee that you have pointed out is not relevant in this particular case. So truly the cost associated with the proposal as presented is substantially higher, correct? Commercial, but they are non-residential. So was there any discussion with staff as to if this is the type of use that we may want to take a look at some point in the future? Was there any of that discussion?
In terms of this specific request, no. The use in particular wasn't looked at. I mean, it is an unusual situation because it is a community center. But just on the basic premise that it is a commercial project, we had quite a bit of discussion in looking at, you know, typically what kinds of commercial project applications would you receive, and the cost value of those. It's not the kind of, you're typically not going to see somebody asking to add a shed or some small storage area onto a commercial project.
Exactly.
That has this level of undergrounding attached to it.
Okay, great. So. Thank you, staff. This is a public hearing item, so I am going to open this up to the public. Is there anyone that would like to address the council on this item? Please come forward. State your name and city of residence for the record.
Good evening. I'm Anita Schauer, 867 North 6th Street, Grover Beach. My question is, if this property becomes vacant and someone else takes over the property, will this resurface?
Hold on. Is that all you have?
No, and then I want to know, is this a PG&E issue? If it's a PG&E issue, Mayor, I believe that you cannot vote.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, first let me say, staff, do you want to answer the second question?
I think
first?
As far as the second question, this is not a PG&E issue. The decision of the City Council has no effect on PG&E financially or otherwise.
Very good. And then staff, if this property became available and was developed with something different, would this, and I don't know if it's an issue, would something similar to this come up again?
The only, you know, again, if somebody else were to purchase the project, the purchase of the project would have no bearing on this decision this evening, nor would that purchase stem another consideration of what's before you tonight. If someone were to purchase the project and decide to add on another small storage building, and that could be approved through the Planning Commission, it's quite possible you'd be considering the similar kind of request. That's about the only way I could imagine that coming up. So.
No, that's fine. So let me see if there's anyone else that would like to address the council on the options of applying for a waiver, and the council would have to consider that. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. So the item before us tonight is a waiver. Staff is recommending approval. Is there someone prepared to make a motion, or do you guys want to have some more discussion on this item?
I'd like to talk a little bit more about it. I recognize that a community center does a lot for the community, and this is a small project, and that maybe our code is, again, in need of a little adjusting. However, I also know that South 13th Street all of 13th Street really is in need of improvement, and the spirit of the law is to get some funds in there so that we can ultimately underground. And so when we waive that requirement, then we don't achieve what we need to achieve, which is to make it more sightly, get it underground, to make it more functional. And so I don't know if there is an option for, I don't know if the council, and maybe our attorney, city attorney, can advise, is the council able to put a small fee on it so that at least there's a contribution?
Go ahead, city attorney.
Thank you, Mayor, council members. The item before you tonight is not whether or not to assess an in lieu fee or in what amount.
Mm-hmm.
The code requires the applicant to underground the utilities. And that is what the applicant is seeking relief from, based on the fact that it's simply impractical. The cost versus the value of the project is, in staff's opinion, at least what makes it impractical. The code does state that the council has the power or the ability to grant a full or a partial waiver.
Okay.
Under these circumstances, at least as I would envision it, a partial waiver would mean that they would only be required to underground half of it or some portion of it, versus trying to assess a smaller amount of a fee. So I hope that's helpful.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Would someone like to try a motion or more discussion?
I will move that we adopt the resolution granting the waiver of the underground utility requirements.
And I'll second that for discussion on just the motion itself. And the reason I'm going to second this is 470 square feet storage area. To me, it's a bit excessive, and I think we will want to revisit this particular type of situation in the future, and I don't believe it's a precedent. So that's why I'm seconding the motion.
May I make a comment?
Yes, you may.
Well, I am concerned about setting a precedent because I do know that there are other businesses out there that have feel that they've been stymied in order to improve their property because of this undergrounding requirement.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, I do believe that we need to revisit this issue. I believe that if we were to deny this request, they just wouldn't go forward with their storage facility. That's pretty simple. I think that it is an excessive amount of money that we'd expect someone to pay to put up a storage shed. And because of that, I would support this waiver, knowing that we will hopefully have a consensus to revisit this issue.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Any other discussion?
I wasn't aware that we could have a partial waiver or they would just do a portion of it. I didn't.
Well, I think the difficulty with that is that it says, well, they only have to do X amount of the street of the undergrounding, which is completely impractical. So we've almost got an all or none situation.
Yeah, I know somebody down my street who had to do it in the middle of a street, and it cost them a lot of money. So, you know, okay.
Go.
Okay. There's no other discussion. Roll call.
Yes.
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 No.
Yes.
Thank you, Donna. Motion carries. Let's move on to our item number 4, and this is a second reading of incorporating the 2010 California Fire Codes and amending our fireworks regulations. Is this Chief Hubert here?
He is.
You threw me a curveball when you sat down at the staff table. Chief Hubert, were you given the report on item number 4, or who's? Okay.
Good evening, Mayor.
Director Buckingham, you're on.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. A brief staff report. At the last council meeting, the city council did introduce and conduct a first reading by title only of an ordinance which would amend our municipal code. I'll begin again. At the last council meeting, The City Council introduced and conducted a first reading by title only of an ordinance which amends our municipal code to incorporate and adopt the 2010 California Fire Code and make amendments to our fireworks regulations. As discussed at the last meeting, the state mandates every 3 years all cities and counties throughout the state must update their fire codes. This ordinance does incorporate the council direction from the last meeting, which did two things: to recommending the council conduct a public hearing and second reading the ordinance by title only and adopt the ordinance tonight. Concludes our report.
Thank you, Ms. Buckingham. Nice staff report. Any questions of staff?
I do.
Councilmember Munar.
When the time comes to issue the permits for the fire stands, have that been done yet? No.
Yes.
Do we have...
So, City Manager, do you want to answer that?
We're in the process of doing that now.
Okay. And do we know where these are going to be located? Are they going to be limited to Grand Avenue?
I must confer with the clerk. Where are they? Three on Grand and one on Oak Park.
Okay. I was concerned if anywhere in the close to the residential neighborhoods. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, this is a public hearing item. I'm going to open this up to the public. Is there anyone from the public that would like to address this item before the council? Seeing that, I'm going to close it and bring it back to the council. You guys want to have more discussion, or is someone prepared to make a motion on this item?
I'll move for staff's recommendation.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you, Donna. Okay, let's move on to our consent agenda this evening. This is an agenda in which we have routine items that we typically take in a group. There are six items on our consent agenda this evening, items 5 through 10. I'm not going to read every one. I think if there's a copy of the agenda, you'll see what those are. Do any members of the council want to pull any items from consent?
No.
No.
I'll move that we accept the order as present, or sorry, that we accept staff's recommendation on these five items. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 items.
Six items. So basically items 5 through 10, correct?
Yes.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion on the motion, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Motion carries. We have no regular business this evening, and we have no items that were pulled from consent. So at this point, we would typically do council committee reports, but I am going to exercise the prerogative of the chair, and we will recess the regular meeting at this juncture, and we will come back to our council.
Here. Here.
Here.
Here. Thank you. So let's go into public communications. Is there any member of the public that would like to address the council slash improvement agency on any item not on this agenda this evening? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close public communications, bring it back to the council slash improvement agency, and let's move into item CCIA1. This is the consent agenda, and this is the minutes of a couple of meetings. Looks like there was a special joint meeting on April 18, 2011, and a regular improvement agency meeting of May 2, 2011.
I'll make a motion that we accept the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. Okay, let's move on to our public hearings under the joint meeting. This is item CCIA2. This is a potential sale of city-owned property to the improvement agency for an affordable housing project. And City Manager, Executive Director, are you giving the staff report on this item?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Executive Director, members of the board, while Kathy is getting the item queued up on the PowerPoint, I would. This item is regarding a potential sale of property for a housing project. It is city-owned property that is contemplated for sale to the housing fund. And a little bit about the housing fund by way of introduction. The housing fund is part of our redevelopment agency. As you'll recall, The housing fund generally generates about $250,000 to $280,000 a year. It's roughly 20% of the gross increment that's produced by the project area. The state requires that those funds be used for affordable housing projects. It's also important to keep in mind that the state requires that those funds be used expeditiously. In fact, they have a requirement that you can't let those funds accumulate over a period of longer than a year or roughly $1 million. So for the last several years, the city has worked with the redevelopment agency expeditiously to develop a program that essentially works with city properties being sold. Most recently, we are working with a contractor to complete a another project that will have five units to be located on former city-owned property on the corner of 10th and Farrell Road. The city last year purchased a piece of property on Hillcrest, and we will begin working on that project probably within the next 6 months to a year. Periodically, in order to assist with this program and this approach, the city takes a look at its total list of inventory of properties. And this you've done almost semi-annually for the last two or three years. This year in particular, you identified the property at 920 Brighton Avenue for a number of reasons as being the best candidate for use as a potential affordable housing project. Obviously, it is level and the utilities are readily available and easy to access. The property is essentially an infill project. It's right now surrounded on three sides by residential property. It has the proximity to Ramona Garden Park, although it's not likely that this particular piece of property would ever be attached to the park simply because of the residential separation. It also has a good proximity to public transit and shopping. These are all very important elements when you take a look at the housing element as well as the city's general fund. It is recognized that affordable housing should, in fact, have a lot of these advantages. The current project description is as follows. It's 6,620 square feet. It's rectangular in shape. Its current use is as a community garden. The general plan designation is Parks and Recreation, and the zoning designation at the present time is Public Facility. I should point out that while the agency council and agency board is considering this project, there is no specific project. Considering the sale, there's no specific project currently planned for the site. It simply is it may be prudent for the council to consider, including that zoning adjustment, the residential properties on both sides of that vacancy, because that will then clear up a current issue of nonconformity with the current zoning designation. Any project that would eventually be built would have to go through the planning process, but the housing, as called out in the general plan, would have to be compatible with the existing neighborhood in both scale and character. I know that there is an issue because it is currently a garden project. It's been a community garden for about 10 years. Staff believes that there are ample opportunities to create gardens throughout the community, and though this would ultimately be a transition from this site, there are certainly other opportunities. We've got a list as well as a map to show you as to where those opportunities would exist. Might also want to mention, in terms of time frame, we're looking at a very minimum, it would probably about a year before this project would, the subsequent project would be going through the planning process, and there would be no intent to move the current gardens until such a time as the property's development was imminent. In terms of alternatives for gardens, currently there is the options at the exploration station that are currently under development, and certainly anybody that wanted to consider moving there at the present time, that option is available to them. But we also have several other items that areas that we think would make excellent alternatives. There's a property on 603 Long Branch Avenue, and this particular piece of property is almost, Kathy, if you want to go ahead and bring the map up. 603 Long Branch is a narrow, long piece of property. It's 16th Street Park. You're very familiar with 16th Street Park. This would be a garden that could be located joining the current pump house facility within the park on the southern fringe, and wouldn't impact any of the existing athletic uses that we have, active areas that we have there. Another area that we've identified as a potential location for a park is actually Costa Bella Park. It's located at Long Branch and Farrell. It has not been used, as I'm understanding it, as a retention basin. And it should also be noted that actually we're watering, I believe, both Costa Bella Park and South 16th. So actually a trade-off with a community garden would eliminate turf, which is a more intense use of watering and would provide a conservation point as an alternative. Anyway, the other thought that we had, although we've had no discussions with Lucia Marr School District, there may be a possibility of talking to the school district and seeing if there may be a site on one of their school sites that may have some potential. In terms of the proposed sale price of the city-owned property, the recommended sale price is $235,000. Obviously, the council has the ability to set the price. The city did base the price on a comparable, what we found as a comparable list of prices. These prices, these listings were in April of this year, and they ranged from a low of $145,000 to a high of, I believe it is, $289,000. So that's the range we used in actually setting the price for this particular piece of property. I think it's important to note, obviously, if the city does sell this particular piece of property, the revenue would be deposited in the general fund. The revenue is Five Cities fire contract. But as you can see, there are the rest of the departments are not very large. The general management is 523. Parks and Recreation is 364, 766. The capital improvement plan is receiving $498,000. $4, and I want to mention this is in this current year's budget. It's not in the projected year's budget. So because these dollars would flow into the current year's budget, and unlike potentially selling or purchasing another piece of property, And that certainly is council an agency agency option with this money. This money actually then stays within the organization and is able to basically not only assist with affordable housing, but also assist with some of the budget issues that we're facing. Obviously, you know that this is a difficult choice for the council to make, but there are alternatives that the council has. You could adopt the resolution to complete the sale and purchase transaction between the agency and the city, and then the agency would have to take a corresponding action. Other alternatives would be to decide not to move forward with the sale or purchase of the property at this time, or provide staff with additional direction. I should note that because this is a protest hearing, once the hearing is completed, in order for this transaction to actually move forward, it would have to receive a four-fifths majority vote of the City Council. That concludes my staff report. I'm available to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Bob. Any questions of staff? Councilmember Monar.
Okay. At the time that we had decided several months ago to accept this property to be sold, and it was done with the original intention of balancing the budget and the secondary intention of providing low-income housing, I was unaware that this property was part of the Ramona-specific plan. Now, I'd like some clarification on that, because when I first came in, I was told that I had to be part of recreational and educational facilities for our public.
Yes, Ms. Molinar, and I can tell you that originally, I wasn't here during the time that the specific plan was approved, but I can tell you the original thought was to include all of those properties ultimately as a part of the park. However, it is recognized, at least by staff, that that's no longer possible, largely because this piece of property in question is surrounded by three private properties, and it is unlikely that we would have any of the resources in any time in the near future to make that a part of the park. Consequently, the thinking was, again, by staff, that because of its location, again, in proximity to the park as well as public transit, that the next best use for this would, in fact, be the development of affordable housing.
And if this went through, the zoning would be changed to R2?
Not necessarily. Again, right now, and I can ask the city attorney to maybe clarify this for me, but even today, a single-family home could be built on that property with a conditional use permit. However, if the council decided that they wanted to do something different with that property, then they certainly could. We would recommend that, as I've noted in the report, that the zoning be changed to R2, again reflecting what was compatible with the surrounding neighborhood, and secondly would be to modify both the specific plan and the general plan to now reflect what reality presents.
All right. Thank you. I will have comments later.
Okay. Councilman Peterson.
I'm wondering if you could give me some idea of whether there would be funds available to help relocate the gardens, the gardeners that are there right now. I'm hearing that there are, well, I'm seeing that we would probably need fencing if we do other community gardens, that beds need to be in place, and I'm hearing that soils may also need to be provided, and there may be other issues too.
Well, the exploration station is something a bit different. Mr. Mayor, I've been advised that we've lost the visual. We have whatever.
Okay.
We can either wait a bit.
So we've lost visual, but we do have audio, correct?
That's then I would suggest we call a recess.
Okay. Let's take a Yeah, that's a good idea. So do the technicians have any idea how long it's going to take to?
Hopefully 5 minutes.
Okay, let's take a 5-minute break. Okay. Mayor Pro Tem, did you have any questions?
No, sir, not at this time.
Councilmember Wright.
Yes, please. I've lost my train of thought. Just one second, please. Okay. When we originally initiated this idea, my thought was because we were going to balance our budget with the added benefit of affordable housing. I need to know that that is acceptable. I want to make sure that I am not breaking a law or going against the principles of our improvement agency. So can you talk to me about that, please?
City Attorney.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Chairperson, and Council members and Board members. The resolutions of intention, when presented on all of the pieces of property and when adopted by the City Council and by the Improvement Agency, were focused, as was the staff's presentation, on the fact that this is the affordable housing program that the agency and the City Council have approved. The benefit to the city of assisting financially in what has become very difficult times budgetarily is neither illegal or improper. It is an added benefit. City has an asset that is available for the agency to purchase. Agency has a program which it has put into effect in order to put affordable units on the ground. Noteworthy is the fact that in spite of attempts to stimulate affordable units through development incentives in our program, because the council has adopted incentives where if an affordable unit was put on the ground through a development process, there would be some standards that went even beyond the state law and incentive bonuses. Those have not been as successful, as you know, because the affordable units were far and few in between that were proposed through the development process. The program that the agency instituted, which basically puts on the ground 100% affordable level units, whether it's low, very low, or moderate income units, has already put four units, a project with all four units on the ground, is about to produce another one that will have five units on the ground. And those nine units, low or very low income, by far exceed any efforts that the city or the agency have done. That is correct. That is okay. What staff is recommending.
Thank you. Then I have one other question. In reference to the letter that we'd received from the attorney for regarding this issue, the proposed sale of the property to the agency violates California law. Can you talk to me about that a bit? I guess I should probably tell you why. He cites
Government Code Section 65402, et cetera.
Right.
Right. There is one process by which the city can move forward with a sale of property, which is outlined in those code sections.
Mm-hmm.
The city has followed an alternate process, which is also available through the government code, and I believe the code sections are in the 3700s. I think it's 3720 through 3730, if I'm not mistaken. If you give me a moment, I can give you specific and exact sites. But that process provides for the process that we have put forth before you and which you have followed, and that is that a notice of intention to sell based on certain findings of public interest is put before the council. The council does that at the same time while adopting a resolution of intention to sell, sets a public hearing and a protest hearing, which we're here for today. And if there is a protest to the sale of the property or the proposed sale of the property, then the council has to override that process by a supermajority vote or the sale doesn't move forward. That process is not available in the other process. In other words, going through the code sections identified in Mr. Nafisi's letter, you simply go through the Planning Commission. As long as there is a consistency finding, consistency of general plan with the general plan, the item comes before the City Council in a public hearing, and there is no protest hearing. Council still decides based on a public hearing. So the process that we've engaged in these transactions has been consistent with the law, And I disagree with Mr. Nafisa's opinion that we violate California law by going through this process.
Okay. Thank you. And I have one other question.
You have the floor.
So if this sale were not to go forward, where would we go from here?
Legally speaking, if the council does not receive, and this is the city council action, the agency action, 8 months, you could bring the item back and potentially reconsider it. With regard to the financial consequences, I'll defer to the city manager.
Relative to the financial consequences, this is the revenue would be realized in this particular year if the sale were to go forward. If the sale does not go forward, if you remember from the budget discussion, we had been projecting $115,000 carryover into next year. That would be eliminated, and we would have a $120,000 deficit that would then have to be made up with the use of reserves or some other means.
Okay, that's what I needed to know. Thank you.
I have another question.
Okay, go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you. We do have other property that is available for this particular use that is not being currently used, that the city owns. Like, I know there's a property on Charles, and I know there's one on Margarita that are both empty.
In responding to that, if I could, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, please do.
That is the inventory, including those particular parcels, were reviewed. And I think the one I recall on Margarita was not used because it has some environmental issues. And Charles, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be, is open space. And those are the reasons that they were not considered. But they were reviewed by the council as a part of the inventory.
So we can sell a piece of property that's park facility but not one that's open space?
Well, that's up to the council majority, so he can't answer that question.
Okay. Thank you.
So let me ask a couple of questions, and I know there's a lot of folks who are here who'd like to weigh in on this item. Councilmember Peterson asked a question regarding would there be funds available to relocate the gardeners. Staff, how many gardeners are there at the site?
We currently have 18 plots with 10 gardeners.
Okay. And then the exploration station, you had said that it is being developed as a community garden. How far is that from the existing garden?
Probably within 300 feet.
Yes.
Okay. No. Probably, about 600 feet? Exactly. And about using agency funds for affordable housing on this site. If that was not an option, would there be an option to sell the land to a private party or a nonprofit agency?
Yes. Either one.
Okay. Those are all of my questions, and I'm going to open this up to the public. So at this point, I'm going to open this up to the public. And I do have six speaker request forms. I know this is a very emotional issue. It's a tough issue for us as well. So I'm going to ask you if you can make your comments, and we'll try and be respectful to one another. I think that would help this process along tonight. And I will give you 3 minutes, and if you are not quite close to finishing, I'll try and allow you a little additional time. So the first request form I have, and Ann, I can't read your last name. Is it Ann? And I wanted to say Steele, but
good evening, members of the board. I appreciate the opportunity to come and speak on behalf of the garden. I am a plot holder, occupier, gardener. And I do it for health reasons. I have a degenerative disease that prevents me from doing a lot of other very active sports. So this is a physical therapy for me. And under ADA, that has some weight, as this is therapy for a disease. And I do have a blue sticker in my car, and have legal and medical proof of that statement. Okay, getting that out of the way. I have enjoyed the garden for well over now 2.5 years. It gives me a place to go that's non-impact, non-strenuous, and I can work until I become fatigued, and then I can leave. Okay, the next thing that I have observed is that I have wonderful neighbors at the garden. It is a social site as well as a physical therapy for me. Then, secondly, or thirdly, as the case may be, I go down my list of things. One, it's therapy for me. Then I look at some physical things that I want to bring to the attention of the city council. Each of our plots is approximately 12 by 22 feet. Now, it's wide, or a building of any kind to be wide. So we have a question in my mind, how do you put a building that's only going to be between 28 to 38 feet wide in this space? That's just not within my realm of thinking. Next, I took some pictures, and I wanted the city council to see exactly what the garden is looking like. And I'm holding this up, hopefully that the camera is on so it can see it. Now, housing is right adjacent to the fencing of the garden. On both sides, on three sides. Now, that's going to put within visual any construction that's going to be on this site. Visual and listening and other intimate details of living will be within sight. These are my pictures taken Sunday at the garden. So if we have housing there, that would be a very embarrassing to be within sight of something personal going on within a 38-foot wide home. And you can't hide anything in a 38 wide home. Next, my point was that any of the other sites that you have visioned for gardening. In one, you can be hit by a baseball. Secondly, you can be hit by a tennis ball. You can be hit by other airborne things. And I'm referring to sports activities at the parks that you've named, at Mentone Park, at some of the other locations, at the schools and what have you. And that's what they're used for. They are for children. They have active things going on, both sound and sports-wise, things going through the air. So that gardeners leaning over to do objects in the garden are at risk of injury from airborne projectiles. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just want to make sure I had gotten your last name. Was that Steele?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Steele. Babak Nafisi?
Good evening. My name is Babak Nafisi. I'm here to represent the group OCRA, Organization Keeping Recreational Amenities. I have to tell you part of it. I was shocked to hear from city manager that the low and moderate income housing program consisted of a transfer of city properties to the agency. What is sorely lacking is any kind of process by which you decide what is an appropriate property for purchase. And there may be many criteria. Size. I mean, your general plan talks about the difficulties in developing less than half an acre. I mean, how many units can you get out of this one site? For the $235,000 that is the price here, you could buy a house in Grover Beach. You can use your redevelopment funds and buy a house and put somebody in there and forget about the whole development part of it. I heard also city manager said, well, of course, that's the price we've decided, but you can, city council could choose the price. That's not true. These funds have to be used for promoting low-income housing. You need to know what is the fair value of that property. The seven houses that the city is listed in the attachment are clearly does not establish $235 as a fair price. These are not actual sale prices. These are asking prices, and five of the seven are less than $235, and four of the five are bigger. And the two other ones that are more, $267 and $289, they both come with extensive ocean views according to the advertisement, and one of them comes with plants. It's just simply untenable that this is an adequate site for local for development of low-income housing, and the price is untenable. So I suggest that you put aside your city council hat and wear your agency hat and decide clearly what is the criteria by which you're going to decide how to promote low-income housing. Just transferring city property into that program does not make a program. With respect to city attorney, I do believe that this project requires environmental review. All this talk about moving the park somewhere else and the loss of recreational amenities clearly illustrates that you need to look at the environmental impacts. And beyond this, you're committing to putting a single residence in that property because nothing else could happen with it, with these redevelopment monies. So you know,
first one is very selfish, is that I'm very invested in the garden. This is my fourth year. It serves several purposes for me, which I won't go into. It's very easily thought about. The second is the letter that we received from the city telling us that the garden was going to be, the plot was going to be sold. The opening statement was, because it was to fix a budget problem. That's my main issue. I just think it may not be illegal. As I've heard, it's not illegal. But to me, that is a poor way to fix a budget, and it is very short-sighted. And again, if we lose this open green space, which it currently is, and many people enjoy, not just the gardeners that are there, we can never get it back. My other concern is you keep referring to the replacement garden that we're getting on Ramona. My understanding is that there is a Ramona-specific plan and that in approximately 3 years, that is intended to be a youth performing arts center. I've been in this garden for 4 years, and I have to tell you that just last year, I've gotten it to the point where it is producing what it should for the size that I'm gardening. Between the grass that keeps trying to get in and the weeds that keep growing in the back that the city doesn't have money to take down, it's been a battle. All the soil we've put in, all the time we've put in, all the people that we talk to that walk by frequently and say, hey, how do I get to do this? There was a waiting list at one point. But when the city calls and tells them that there's a plot available, they look at the one available and see what we had to do. They're not interested to get, the plots where we have them now. So that single plot has been sitting there for a really long time, representing the work that needs to be done to even get it to look like the other gardens. That's it for me.
Thank you, Ms. Darling. Daryl Voth, followed by Angela Henderson.
Good evening, Mayor Scholes, Councilman. I'm Daryl Voth. I live in Grover Beach. I'm a member of the Okra Group, and I've been asked by the surrounding plan of selling city-owned property to the Improvement Agency, and depending on the housing fund, as a reliable source for monies for the purpose of offsetting city budget deficits. The city sold the 10th and Farrell property in 2009. You sold a portion of the water tank property up on Hillcrest in 2010. You're now wanting to sell the community garden. In last week's budget meeting, you mentioned that you're going to sell the Cleaver property in 2012 and the Okui property the next year. So I guess that's the way you're dealing with that.
These sales have been a convenient and relatively easy process, especially since the buyer and seller are controlled by the same people. And certainly on the surface, it appears that you set the prices you need for your budget deficit and make the transfers. You know, people who serve on the boards of directors for private corporations have certain legally enforceable fiduciary obligations they owe to those corporate entities and their shareholders. I'm not sure how that concept transfers over to public entities, such as the agency, but aren't you just a little uneasy about your personal responsibility and potential liability for the proper use and management of the low and moderate income fund? If it gives you any pause, with all due respect, I think you should get independent legal counsel. Mr. Peralta said that the city is not required to obtain an appraisal for these types of sales. Well, what does that open the door for? Do you believe the manipulation of comparables and reliance on the asking price of high-end single-family resident view lots is the way to set the sale price for an affordable housing project lot? It is if you want a high number. It isn't if you're trying to stretch the housing fund dollars. Do you think the defense of an appraisal would cost too much, will stand in the light of concerns over possible mismanagement of the housing fund? A disappointing part of this process has been the attitude of some council members that your hands are tied or there's no alternative to selling the community garden. Apparently the budget problem is just too big. I don't believe that's true. We acknowledge and we appreciate that over the last couple of years, the council, if the budget is so bad, remodeling projects should be postponed. Obviously, there are many factors that affect, you know, the budget process, and it's beyond our ability to comment on those this evening. But the budgetary bottom line is that if you choose to retain the garden as an open space community asset, you will carry over a budget deficit into next year's budget, and the general fund ending balance for next year's fiscal year will drop from over $2.5 million to over $2.3 million. The budget sky is not falling. The reserves are declining. Also, I don't believe those budget fund balances reflect the improvement agency loan payments you are rescheduling and voting on this evening. And, you know, if you need alternatives, please consider the following. If sales of city property must be made, why don't you just only sell vacant properties or small unutilized parcels? Sell them to private parties at market value. May not make as much on those, but don't sell actively used recreational property that realistically will not be replaced in kind or quality. Stop abusing the housing fund. Affordable housing is an important city goal. Pursue quality projects that make sense for potential developers and intended owners and occupants. On behalf of the Improvement Agency, use your housing fund cash flow resources to drive beneficial purchases of larger lots that are amenable to multi-unit projects. The agency doesn't have to purchase just from the city. Those properties are available within the city at prices lower than you've placed on the community garden. Keep a tight rein on city budgets and don't be so overly obsessed with your budget reserves. I sound kind of preachy, I know, but every homeowner on Brighton Avenue between 9th and 10th has signed a protest. Every adjoining landowner has signed a protest. 175 other residents have signed the protest, and plus 25 individuals from outside the city, but they were here when they signed it, have signed a protest. We'd like to hear your findings on each of those protests. Thank you.
Angela Henderson, followed by Anita Schauer.
I wasn't actually. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I wasn't actually planning on speaking tonight. I'm kind of shy, but I can't not talk about this. My husband and I have lived in Grover Beach since 2001, and one of the reasons we moved here from Southern California was the wonderful sense of community that this area has. It is just so wonderful and so refreshing. And the garden actually was one of those big reasons that we liked it here. Our kids love it. They have grown up in the garden. They're now 8. And they've learned about, how plants grow and different bugs. And, we grew all our jack-o'-lanterns there. They would be really sad if it was taken away. And all their friends would, too. Their friends come also. We've actually, the other speaker that was Sandy was talking about how it's taken so long to get the garden up to speed. She's right. It's a very long process, and the garden is just now coming into its own, and it's really blooming, and all the weeds are out, and we got all the pests out and everything, and it would just be horrible if all that work was for nothing. I got a really good crop of broccoli this year, and I was able to trade other people for babysitting, and it's really helped me get closer to all the other gardeners and the community in general. Again, the other garden that the exploration station is doing, it's wonderful, but it's temporary. It's also got tons of problems. I mean, it's nice, but it's got tons and tons and tons of weeds and rocks, and it would be starting from ground zero, and it would take years, probably right about the time they would take it away. So it just seems backwards to me that they'd want to move us to a site that's completely packed with houses, would frankly another house would fit in, and then not let us stay where there's already a beautiful park and it's already been designated for what it is. I think if you've actually visit the garden, you can see what I'm talking about. It's a beautiful thing, and we're hoping you let us keep it.
And then regarding the deed, I'm unaware of any deed restrictions, but maybe there are deed restrictions in that Clifford Clark was instrumental in this sale to the city, and I would think that if you are going to consider this, that maybe you would give the gentleman time to go through his records and find out what the deed restrictions were or what his conversation was with the city when he did this. And someone else already brought up the fact that you must have other pieces that you may sell. And why you would pick on this is just beyond comprehension. The young lady asked about Charles Street. I can tell you that the lot on the way down Charles, as you go on to Margarita on the right-hand side, belongs to the Bagwell family. The next vacant lot is part of the Greenbelt, and that's after the house that's there. And then across the street on Margarita, that's all the Greenbelt. And that's not something that anybody can build upon. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Schauer. Judy, is that Judy Schwarm?
Yes. Well,
followed by Dave Ekbaum.
Good evening. I spoke last meeting, and once I knew the protest was going to be this evening, I had so many issues I wanted to address that I wrote a couple letters that are in your packets addressing those issues. I have two visual boards that I shared because I figured that would be easier than trying to verbalize all this. I spoke about the parking last time. Ramona Park is a wonderful thing for our city. And to backstate a little bit, I'm the last remaining member of the Tenet family in this area. My family was here before we had sidewalks. So I've seen a lot of changes. On the Brighton side of Ramona Park, that is the top photo on the blue sheet, you'll see it looks like tons of ample parking. That is actually only 13 parking sites. On 10th, we have 2 handicap, 5 compact, 2 park and ride, and only 23 regular sites. So for a park that's utilized by the community, that is not enough parking. And it fills all the neighborhoods all the way around. For the weekend of Stone Soup, which is a wonderful thing for our community, people have to walk 5 blocks now. Those of us that live there have trouble with our driveways getting blocked. So parking is an issue. And last meeting, you gave discussions on different sites that were not amenable to this. And Mrs. Peterson gave a site stating, I don't remember, it's like probably, and it is my belief, and things that are not really concrete statements. And as far as I'm concerned, there is no certain assurance or certainty as to the type and the scope of the affordable housing project that would finally be approved for the property. The location you have on Farrell that was discussed earlier, 10th Street and Farrell, I have been informed that to start with, that was not going to be a five-unit parcel. But the developer came, he needed more units, so more units were added. So once pressured, what will the city agency actually approve for the 920 Brighton Avenue parcel? The city agency has not provided neighboring properties with any kind of binding assurances as to the nature or the restrictions of that housing project. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Warren. Dave Eckbaum followed by Tom Hughes.
Thank you, Mayor and Council Members. Dave Eckbaum, Gower Beach. I'm not going to be very popular here tonight because I don't care if you sell this property. The problem is that I object to why you're doing it. It's a property used by 10 people in the community. That seems like a poor use of city funds, city property. But at the same time, it's a feel-good project. And so if the only reason you're selling this is to get money in the general fund, take it out of the improvement agency where you can't get at it, to put it in the general fund so you can spend it, I think it's a poor way of facing your own budget problems. I've talked to all of you individually and staff over the years now. You spend down reserves and you try and cancel capital improvement projects. You keep acting like the situation we're in is temporary. You think it's going to go away, apparently, and it's not. You need to face spending cuts for the general fund of the city of Gower Beach. I'd be very disturbed over the fact that I think you now are soliciting bribes from the Cleaver property, from the American Legion. You're telling them that if you let it go to them, the Cleaver property, let it go to them, and they pay you back, you'll get rid of that next year. I think that's terrible. It's exactly against the wishes of the donor, and you can find out from Clifford Clark exactly what the wishes were. There was no one. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Eckbaum. Tom Hughes, followed by Bonnie. Please. Peace.
Good evening, council members, mayor. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. There have been a lot of good reasons why you should vote against this, and I agree with all of them. I'm just speaking as a resident and a voter in Gower Beach that it shouldn't be done. There's lots of reasons, as you heard, some of which I feel that, as the last gentleman just said, that you are just trying to fix a temporary problem that you think is a temporary problem. You're trying to put a Band-Aid on this issue with your budget. Just as my Band-Aid actually will fix my problem because my thumb will eventually be healed. But I don't think this Band-Aid that you're trying to put on this budget will ever be fixed because you're trying to play a shell game with this and you're not addressing the real problem, which is the fact that you're spending more money than you're taking in. And to play this shell game to do this, and then next year you're going to have to do another shell game and come up with another reason to try to fix your budget problems. So I think you need to really address the real issue as to why you're needing to think about considering doing this, because of the fact that, you know, you're spending too much money, more than you're taking in. I really didn't have a whole lot else to say, though, that I am on the list for the community garden at the Explorer Station. In fact, I've been contacted. I've looked at it. It's a terrible location for lots of reasons. In fact, tonight, I'm willing to go ahead and take that one plot that's in the current community garden, pull those weeds out, and I'll bet you I'll plant a really good garden there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hughes. Bonnie Claire Buckle.
Good evening. I'm not
other than I own property with my mom, Muriel Claire, at 266 North 9th Street, which I've heard a couple of times this evening that this property you're trying to sell or wish to sell is surrounded on three sides by individual homes. I want to correct that. It is surrounded by four individual single-family residences. My mom's property, your property, butts up to the back of my mother's property, and it has never been donated or anything else to the city. And so I just wanted to make that clarification. I agree with all the protests, comments that have been made, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Buckle.
I'm here to continue a conversation we had not long ago about one of the properties being considered, and that's the Okui property. With a little more research and understanding, you know, we did understand that that property was one of them considered and maybe considered again in the future. Currently, that parcel was designated for retention basin use, and while some of that demand has been reduced by further subdivisions of land and water management for retention basins and so forth, there still is a demand for that retention basin needs on that property. And with that in mind, you know, where it was a suggestion that maybe the Okuis be considered as a potential a buyer, a repurchaser of that parcel, and maybe a master plan for drainage be considered in the ultimate development plan that may come forward with that if and when the family decides that that's the right thing to do with the property. And to kind of memorialize that concept, after researching some documents that go back into the mid-80s, there's a comment that talks about within 20 years of the date that the city had taken possession of that if the Okuis had developed an alternate site or location for retention facilities, that would be considered. Now, that particular time frame has passed, but I thought it was worth bringing forth the spirit of what was put together at the time when that condemnation had occurred there. So I appreciate your consideration tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nestor. Mr. Okui, and then followed by the last speaker, Jerry Wiyu. Jerry, I'm sorry, I had lost your slip up here.
I'm Charles Okui. We grow the strawberry on 13th and Highland. And like 20 years ago, like Greg Nestor was talking about, that I think about 7/10 of an acre was taken away for or inland domain by the city to put a drainage basin there. And from all the comments that I hear tonight, that it sounds like this year it's the garden, maybe next year it'll be the drainage basin by us to put some houses on it. And right now, we're like the last farm left in the city, and what we're trying to do is keep housing away from farming, so there's a little buffer zone. And from the talk from tonight, it sounds like each year.
Thank you, Mayor Scholl and members of the council. I see that I'm swimming upstream. I'd like to support the proposal because affordable housing is a critical need in San Luis Obispo County and in Grover Beach. Over the last 7-8 years, I've worked with your staff, and the most difficult thing is to find parcels of land on which they can build affordable housing. You have one here. It may not be the best possible site, but it's a site that you can acquire and use for affordable housing. San Luis Obispo is the least affordable smaller housing market in the country. Of all the communities of 500,000 or less, we're the least affordable. We're the sixth least affordable of all the metro areas in the country. That's a real problem. Well over 30% of the tenants in our county pay more than 50% of their income for housing. That is a tremendous problem. It's called a severe housing burden. We have a worse problem with housing cost burden than Los Angeles, San Francisco, and New York City. We need to produce more housing that's affordable to people who live and work in our communities. this is an opportunity to do that. Over the last 7 or 8 years that I've worked with your staff, they've been able to produce 4 units of affordable housing. They've tried very hard, but they've only produced 4. So here's an opportunity to produce a couple more, and I'd like you to seriously consider it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Eu. And so with that, I'm going to close to the public, and I do want to thank everyone for your comments and for being here and for being respectful in your comments, and we really appreciate that. And I can tell you that we hear all your comments, and we will take those into consideration as we deliberate, but I did want to thank you. So a lot of discussion, a lot of comments. Staff, did you hear any, were there anything that you felt you needed to clarify?
One of the items that I would like to qualify is the question regarding budgets. Budgets are in services costs wherever possible, reducing the contribution to the street rehabilitation program by $120,000, and reducing staff compensation by approximately up to 10%. The figure that Mr. Voth identified as staff salaries being in increase, I want to remind council that that's simply because we're in a meet and confer process with employees, and so consequently the full weight of those salaries are shown in the budget, but once those concessions are achieved, that will then be reduced. The other part about this is, yes, it is selling city assets, but that is one avenue or one approach is to evaluate the few assets you have, and if you can utilize those assets in terms of benefiting the budget, that's part of what you're there to do. So in terms of the budget issue, I'd just like to answer that. A further clarification, we've worked between the agency and the city for a number of years, but I do want to make the Long Branch property was originally purchased by the agency and then provided, so it wasn't a city-owned property in that case. And the intent was and remains, the recommendation is to do what we can to try and meet our affordable housing goals, and this was one obvious goal that staff had in mind in terms of making that recommendation.
Thank you, sir. Okay, there has been a lot of discussion here, so let's have some discussion. How about we start? Who wants to start? Councilmember Peterson.
I am whoever wants to get rid of a beautiful garden, and so this is a really tough decision for all of us. One of the things that I wanted to correct was an seems to be a common misunderstanding that that we've got some kind of informal process by which we make these decisions, and in fact over the course of the last couple of years I believe we've met multiple times, evaluated the properties that the city owns to see a misunderstanding that it's been some kind of informal process. I you know, there's so much energy being put into this, and I would love that if we could have this level of energy towards figuring out how to make it work to have affordable housing, how to make it work to meet our budget, because there are 13,000 people affected. And if we could, it's a huge sacrifice on the part of the gardeners, but if there would be some way that as the city we could make it work for those gardeners, then we could also make it work for a family that needs housing, maybe two families that need housing, and we could help the city meet their budget requirements. So when times are hard, the only way to survive is to find ways to make your money do double duty. And that's what the city has done here. And I think that, unfortunately, as the council, we're the ones who are tasked with finding the ways to make the money do double duty. And we have had a situation where staff have reduced their incomes already 5 or 10%. We're asking them to do the same again this year. I know our staffing levels are down at least 10%. We're short 3 policemen, I believe. None of those are going to be replaced in the near future. And so that's my thinking on it, and I may have more to say later, but that's where I am. And I also wanted to comment that the deed restrictions, I know that I believe we asked that at the last meeting we discussed it. There are no deed restrictions. And I have run all the comparables, all the available, nothing sold in the last 6 months in lots in Grover Beach. But I have personally, as a real estate broker, had access to run all of the lots that are currently active. The ones that have been cited by the city are different. Some of them overlap, but basically, I don't think that it's an outrageous price, and I don't think that it's not as if we're finding a price and slotting it in a budget hole, because that budget hole is fixed by reserves. It's not fixed by the value that was put on the property in April. So that's all for now. But
okay, Councilmember Monar.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate everyone being here tonight, and I know this is a really difficult decision that we have to make. I would like to say that I don't think that the city has any right to be as offensive as our governor is in trying to abolish the redevelopment agency. Mm-hmm. He is using, and I realize now the mistake I made was I agreed originally to the sale of this property without looking at it thoroughly. And that was a mistake on my part. We have reserves, and I think it's more important to use those reserves. We're only going to ask for another $120,000. That is not a lot. I mean, that's a lot of money for an average person, but considering the reserves that we have, it is not. If we continue to sell off our assets, we will have nothing left when we really need to have those assets available to us. That is the primary reason why I disagree now with this sale of this property. Also, I'd like to say that I really don't want to be part of decision-making that goes back on promises, on things that we say to our residents, that we want to do things that are for you and to help you, and then when there's a little bit of a problem, we step back and say, no, forget it, we're not going to do this for you anymore, or we're going to take it away. Now, I know I came into my position not without being voted in, but quite honest, I'm really taking what I'm doing now very seriously. And I think that the rest of the council should really think about what they're doing tonight, but I think it's wrong, both financially and morally. Thank you.
Councilmember Bright.
Thank you. Well, I don't even know where to start. There's no need for me to repeat what others have said. I originally thought this was going to be an excellent opportunity for a family to move into a very nice neighborhood and be able to take advantage of the amenities that are nearby. I thought that I really love the idea of having other gardens throughout the town. So many people could enjoy them in their own neighborhood as opposed to just in one neighborhood. That, to me, was just a fabulous idea. I also felt that we would be able to serve more residents that way. Right now, we have 18 plots and 10 gardeners. Well, maybe 11 if Mr. whoever, Young?
Mr. Hughes.
Hughes, sorry. Gets his way. So in those respects, I feel like I thought this would be a really great idea, great project. We'd solve our budget issue for this year. With the proposed price, that concerns me as well. If it really is overpriced, which we say it's not overpriced, but it's a good price, will it really be affordable? Will we really be able to have an affordable project on that property? I'm thinking that may not be the case. So one thing I'd like to say as well is it's our budget collectively, not just our budget, So we're all responsible for this budget. And there's going to be ramifications one way or the other. Mm-hmm. There will be a decrease in services to the citizens. There's no doubt about that. If we have budget shortfalls, that's where it's going to come. Street repairs aren't going to be made. Other services, well, I mean,
no,
we're doing the best
please,
we can.
Please. Let her
finish.
What,
you know what our budget is, so you know what we're talking about. We do the best we can with what we have. So, anyway, I'll get off that. And so, at this point in time, I'm just not quite sure. I am very concerned about my motives. My original motives were to balance the budget. That was my motive. Not to sell the property, because that was the benefit, was the affordable housing. But now I'm concerned that may not be a reality. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
I appreciate the attendance of all the residents that have shown up tonight. Appreciate your coming here. However, one of the things I think we need to keep in mind is that we are up here representing a little over 13,000 people. Somebody mentioned that you have 175 signatures or 175 people supporting your position on this matter. 175 is a relatively small percentage of the 13,000 people that live in this community. We have to be concerned with all of the services that we provide. We have fire services, we have police services, we have public work services, we have administrative services. All of those things have to be paid for. I don't consider this a move to balance our budget. It will help our budget. It is one of the many things, as the city manager mentioned a few moments ago, the number of things that we are doing to try and keep our budget balanced as well as we can. I don't think that we can continue to dip into our reserves. City have either declared or on the verge of bankruptcy. I think this city council and this staff that we have in this city have done an excellent job so far in keeping this city as a very viable community. We all have to give up something. We all have to sacrifice someplace. I think this one piece of property being converted, or the garden part taken away from it, is not going to kill this community. It's going to hurt a certain number of people. But we have other garden facilities in the community. And if we have enough people that come to the city office and say, gee, I really love to have a garden plot, and we'd find another place to put another garden, but we haven't had in the past and do not have at this time that sort of a demand. But we do have alternative places available right now that are not being used. So I honestly believe that the staff and this council has taken the right direction in this move, and I certainly support it.
Okay, I'm going to make a few comments, and then we're going to see if there's a motion here. So let me start by thanking everyone again for coming down and being involved and putting forth your comments. And I think anyone who has been in this community, I've been on this council for 9 years now, and I hope that I've been fair in my deliberations and trying to consider all sides. And I will say, and I know she didn't mean to offend the rest of her colleagues, but we do take our obligation very seriously, and I will defend my record over the years any day and any time. And so those who say this is an immoral decision, I think that's unfair, but I'm not going to go down that road, because I know this is emotional, and I know there are folks who are affected by this, whether it is short-term or long-term. And our job is really to try and look and do the best for this entire community. That said, my number one reason for doing this is we do have an affordable housing obligation and a commitment. The only reason that Habitat for Humanity has provided four beautiful homes on, I believe it's Long Branch and Fifth, was because of the city and the agency. The 10th and Farrell property is coming forward because of the city and this agency. And so we do take that obligation very seriously. I do agree with the Mayor Pro Tem when he talks about this, and I'm trying to get away from this budget discussion, but I think Councilmember Peterson said it very well. If there are two benefits to doing this, one of it, a clear example, The budget for park and recreation is $364. For staff, that is about $244. So we have a budget tonight we're going to make a decision on, and obviously this decision will roll into that. But make no mistakes, there will have to be deep cuts in the city budget into city services. And that's not a threat, it's just a reality. So there, I know there's an emotional tie. This community garden is an asset. And I will tell you, before I got on this council, I worked on a Ramona Garden specific plan, and they have talked about some a children's center and other developments are over 10 years. And so I understand people think that that garden is only temporary. I would say, based on past practices, it's not something that's going to be developed in 3 years or whatnot. So I think what we were trying to do, or hopeful of doing, is if this particular garden were to be converted, trying to provide other alternatives throughout this community. The exploration station is less than 1,000 feet away. That doesn't mean that we can't try and put another, some facility, a smaller facility, in Ramona Garden Park. They've identified other sites throughout the city and, you know, in the southern part of the city. And I think the reference to Lucia Marr was looking at something up at near Grover Heights. So, you know, I think there are opportunities to replace this, and I know you can't replace the investment and the emotional investment and the sweat equity, and that's a difficult thing to do. But as the Mayor Pro Tem has said, we really need to find a way to do what it is benefiting the entire community. And I know this is tough. These are tough decisions we have to make, and that's why they obviously, you obviously pay us the big bucks. We do honor the donation, and trying, and someone had talked about Cleaver Park and others. We're not accepting bribes. We are just trying to keep all options on the table and trying to do what is in the best interest of sustaining community services, vital services in this community. And so if this council chooses and this agency chooses not to to move forward on what is proposed by staff, I'll respect that, and then we will find a way to balance your budget, not our budget. So with that, I want to see if someone is prepared to make a motion on this item and see if we can't move this item along this evening.
Yes, I'll make a motion.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion? Okay. Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
No.
Yes. Okay. So with that vote, City Attorney, is there, there's really no reason to move forward to the improvement agency?
At this point in time, my recommendation would be that there is no need for an action on the agency.
Okay. Very good. So basically the motion is denied and the garden remains. And thank you all again for coming out. At this point, we are going to recess for 10 minutes. Let's take a 10-minute break. I'm going to reconvene the Joint City Council Improvement Agency meeting for Monday, June 6, 2011. And I believe we had finished with item CCIA2. So we are now going to move into City Council Improvement Agency businesses. And this is item CCIA3. And this is consideration of approval of amended loan agreements between the City of Grove Beach and the Improvement Agency. City Manager,
Yes, Director. I can provide you with a very brief staff report. As you will recall, during our last meeting, we had a presentation by the fiscal advisor. The city had retained to review the status of both the agency's revenues and obligations against it. At that time, we reported that there were three loans. That is that these loans have been recognized in our audits in the past, but we really needed to thoroughly document them. And the way to do that is by attaching the attached resolutions, which indicate that these loans will either be paid off by the pending bond sale, proceeds of the pending bond sale, or if that for some reason would not occur, then it would put in place a repayment plan and a schedule that is attached. So essentially that's the staff's recommendation. Both the city attorney and I are available to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Any questions of staff?
I have one.
Okay.
Okay. So the amortization schedule we have here is the repayment plan if we do not do the bonds.
That's correct.
Okay. On the one for the wastewater fund and also for the general fund, it shows initial payments, well, one of $50,000 and then the next month of $40,000 and the other one of $50,000 and $100,000. Those are just lump sums that we are going to turn over right away?
I think those were ones we have in the existing budget, and it's just completing the existing budget, what the existing budget shows.
Okay. And then so what is the interest rate then?
It will be tied to LAIF, the Local Agency Investment Fund, and that is roughly a half a percent right now, but that's what we get on all of our other investments.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. If there's no other questions, this is a business item. I'm not going to open this up. Someone prepared to make a motion on this item?
I'll move for staff's recommendation.
I'll second.
Okay. And we can take these as a group, City Council and Improvement Agency, City Attorney?
Yes, you may vote on them as a group.
Okay. So there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion on the motion, how about a roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. So let's move into item CCIA4. The title is just FY12 budget.
Yes.
Sounds so harmless.
Mr. Mayor, members.
Well, it said adoption before.
Yes. Certain recommendations provided by the council, and we indicated that we would return with the budgets for the council's adoption, including the revisions that were made as directed. As I had pointed out in the previous item, the general fund, the direction to balance the general fund was obviously based on the available estimated carryover of $115,000. With recent action, we will not have that. The use of up to $350,000 in reserve funds, the reduced construction in streets by $120,000, continue to review supplies and services for reductions and achieve between $200,000 and $300,000 in personnel concessions resulting from the meet and confer process. In addition to that, just by way of correcting the general fund budget, I wanted to note that we added in an additional $7,500, which was to ensure that we had the two events listed in the general fund per the existing chamber contract. I do know that the subcommittee will meet later with the chamber. The Improvement Agency, simply there were some changes that were made, and that was to allocate $4,000 to the Visitors and Convention Bureau. Out of that, $2,500 was to go to be dedicated to the Savor the Central Coast event. And also there was direction to add $4,000 in for the EVC. The EVC had in previous budgets been funded at $7,500. Essentially, then you have this document in front of you, and the recommendation, as noted, was to adopt the budgets. I'm here to answer any questions that you might have.
I have a question.
Okay, hang on.
Sorry.
Thank you. Councilmember Mornar.
Thank you. I'm sorry. We, if we adopt this budget, and then later you'll come to us and let us know what the savings or the further expense will be after the employee concession.
That's correct.
So at that time, do we just...
The budget document, replacement pages. If you, the general fund summary page, I think, listed a figure of, on the general fund summary of $646,594. That was to be made up between concessions from staff, somewhere between $280,000 and $200,000 and $300,000. And the remainder of it was to be made up out of reserves, and that's what it would have taken to balance the budget. The issue that you have now before you is that, you know, number one, more than like with the ending deficit in this year of $120,000, and we're only 2 weeks away from the end of that year, the end of that fiscal year, the reserves would be used to cover that, but that leaves you with no carryover for next year. So that adds essentially $115,000 to the problem right at this point.
Thank you.
Okay, Councilmember Peterson.
That was a really long-winded response, and I didn't quite follow it. So can you tell us right now, because we did not move forward with the sale of the garden parcel, then how much money do we need to find in this budget?
You would have to find essentially the $115,000.
We have to find $115,000. And so we're tasked with doing that now.
You could do that, although rather than taking line-by-line approach at this particular point, I would suggest that one option would be to direct staff to review the how we might develop some recommendations for dealing with that 115. The other point of that is you could either do that or agree to use additional reserves this year. That would be the other option.
So the reserve figure you were talking about was $350,000.
Roughly, yes.
Which is seven, and our reserves are roughly $2 million.
$2 million, they're a bit more than that. I think they're roughly $2.2 million.
So that's a 16 to 17% of reserves we've already agreed to use. Using any more is getting to be a big...
Molly Kano. I'm the Director of Sales and Marketing for the San Luis Obispo County Visitors and Conference Bureau. I wanted to take the opportunity this evening to come in and thank Council and the City of Arroyo, of Grover Beach, for your continued support with the Visitors and Conference Bureau, and to thank you as we move forward into another fiscal year. We've had a strong indicator that we will be receiving full funding from many of the jurisdictions in our county. Based on our successes, and I've passed out to all of you a sheet of information that talks about our successes that we've had throughout this fiscal year. Based on a lot of these successes, our County Board of Supervisors has actually agreed to increase our funding for the Visitors and Conference Bureau. I'm happy to announce that. Based with this increase in funding,
we will be challenged with the opportunity to implement some new programs, one of which is the uniquely slow tourism cluster that's been put together through the Economic Vitality Corporation, through the EDC, led by Noreen Martin, Stacy Jacob of the PRWCA, and Jackie Crabb from the Farm Bureau. We will also have the opportunity to market our county's golf courses, parks, and our airport. Of course, this is a huge benefit for Grover Beach. Tourism is a number one industry driving economic vitality to our county. And with this opportunity of us now taking a look at the county parks and the golf courses, and of course the airport as well, Grover Beach has the opportunity to benefit from this because, of course, you are the entryway into the dunes. You've got the monarch butterflies so close to you, golf courses, and of course farmland all around you as well. So some big opportunities as we move forward into the next year. We are also moving along swiftly with our search committee for a new executive director / contractor. We've narrowed down our search to three potential people and applicants, and we are beginning our interview process within the next couple of weeks to get that position filled as well, which is exciting for all of us. We also have Savor the Central Coast coming back another fantastic year, September 29th through October 2nd, and tickets are already an opportunity and talk one-on-one with these operators, and three or four of them have already asked for more information and how they can continue to work with Grover Beach. So Debbie Peterson, thank you so much for being a part of that with me, and we'll continue to look forward to some more opportunities like that. I'd also like to take the opportunity to respectfully request that I be able to come back at a later date and present to you our full marketing plan for the year coming, so you can see all the nuts and bolts and the pieces that we're putting together to continue to brand and market San Luis Obispo County. So thank you so much, and we appreciate your support.
Thank you very much, Molly. Is there anyone else that would like to address the council / agency? Seeing that, I'm going to close it and bring it back. So, what's the pleasure of the group? I think the city manager, executive director, had kind of laid out the situation going forward. And looks like we need to figure out how to cut another $115,000 from the budget, if not more, because I guess a lot of this is going to be dependent upon your negotiations with staff as well.
Yes, and once those negotiations would be concluded, we'll have a better idea of what that final figure would be. The other option is to use additional reserves.
Should we continue this item?
Well, I think staff had talked about giving them some direction to come back with strategies to cut an amount from the budget. I don't think he used the word cut, but I'm using the word cut because I will tell you I am opposed to using any more reserves. We talk about using reserves for a one-time deal, and that's one of our policies. And, you know, it seems like we've obviously gotten chastised tonight about fiduciary responsibility. So if we're going to draw the line, then we draw the line. At least that's my feeling at this point. So, but, you know, obviously I'm one vote, and I want to see what everyone else is. Mayor Pro Tem?
Yeah, then I agree. Let staff come back to it.
Do we need a motion, or do we need – well, I think we need to see if there's a consensus. Yeah. So let's make a motion.
Okay, well, I agree.
Did you make that motion?
You make it.
Okay. So we have
the first. It's going to take a little bit of time. I would suggest that we look at the July meeting date.
Okay. Are you thinking first or second meeting in July?
I would think the first meeting in July.
Donna, do you know what day that is?
That is the 5th.
Tuesday. It's a Tuesday because it follows.
It's either that or we could continue it until the 18th. July 18th.
Okay, so the maker of the motion, any thought on continue to a date certain?
What date do you want? The 18th?
The 18th.
Then I shall include that in the motion, please, July 18th.
The person who made the second, are you okay with continuing to a date certain?
Yes.
Okay.
Need to note that Councilmember Molnar wasn't by choice, will not be here on the 18th.
We only need 3 votes to pass a budget, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Let's see what where the vote is, and let's see where we are. That sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it is a motion to continue to a date certain, which is July 18th?
Correct.
And there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, I can do this as a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? None. Motion carries. You voted for that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And I think at that time we'll be able to consider some of the requests that we had. So with that, I am going to adjourn the joint City Council Improvement Agency meeting and going to call to order the special meeting for the Greenwood Beach Financing Authority for Monday, June 6, 2011.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Hang on a second.
Oh, sorry.
So, Donna, when you're ready, roll call.
Here.
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 Here. Anyone want to, let's see, public communications. Is anyone interested in commenting doing public communications tonight? Why don't you come to the podium? No. Come to the podium. If you have to be on the record. No. Okay. I'm going to close public communications.
On the board, essentially what I'm asking here is authorization to schedule regular meetings of the joint authority. As noted in the staff report, recent law indicates that regular meetings, that approval to issue bonds must take place during regularly scheduled meetings. Typically, in the past, we've only had one meeting per year. And obviously, with our pending bond issue, we may need to establish the regular meeting dates. As was done in the past, and as noted in the staff report, the financing agency actually acts as a part of the financing structure between the city and the agency. So there would be some work for the financing agency to do. And so I'm recommending that regular meetings be scheduled. If there are no items, action items, we would just cancel the meeting if there was no necessity to act.
Okay, so we need to set a calendar for
right.
Finance. So could we have those meetings coincide with a regular council meeting?
In fact, what's recommended.
Okay, very good. Okay. Any questions of staff?
Nope.
No? Okay. This is a business item. Am I going to open this up to the public? Is someone prepared to make a motion on this item?
I will. I will make a motion that the authority board adopt the resolution establishing a time and place for regular meetings of the financing authority.
Second.
Okay. Very good. There's a motion and a second. Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. And with that, the special financing authority meeting is adjourned. I'm going to reconvene the regular city council meeting for Monday, June 6, 2011. And we had left off under council committee reports. And so due to the hour, unless there's someone who really has something they want to report tonight, can we hold these or does someone have something they'd like to report?
I have just one item.
Okay, Mayor Pro Tem.
Councilmember Bright had asked about the notice of violation at the sanitary district and wanted to know about the answer that was due on May the 31st. And I have copies of the sanitation district response at that time.
Okay. And then one thing I did want you to speak to is I believe one of the members of the Surf Riders mentioned the grand jury report.
Yes, the grand jury report has come out and is available for anybody that wants to read it. The sanitation board met last week, and it was the board's decision that we will not individually talk to the press as a result of other items that have appeared in the press recently with reference to the sanitation district that have been totally erroneous. So the decision was that we will have one spokesman for the district, and that is myself and the district legal counsel. So if I get any inquiries from the press, I will meet with the press in the presence of the attorney and give them whatever responses or answers they're looking for.
Okay, and then so you would meet and would the board officially respond to the grand jury?
Oh, yeah, the board will officially respond. I'll get you copies of that if you'd like. The response is due by August 29, and it's in the process of being prepared right now.
Okay, very good. So then let's move on to city council member items. We have none at this time. Council communications, anyone have any communications they'd like to share tonight?
I do.
Councilmember Bright.
I received an email regarding the televising of the council meetings, and it says, please discuss during council communications why the city pays to have the council meetings televised when so many citizens don't have Charter cable. Unless we subscribe to Charter for TV service, we cannot watch the meetings if we are at home and or cannot attend the meeting in person. Thank you, Sue Hartman.
Thank you for that comment, Sue.
I have another comment related to that. I regularly hear from people that they can't hear. And I know I do have to turn my volume way up high, and I have mentioned it, and I know it's been addressed, but I think one of the things that we can do is talk more into the microphone, and that would be helpful.
Bingo, Debbie. Thank you. Nice job.
I think we need to be more conscious of that.
Yeah. And I want to just say to Sue, and I know Sue has been a long-time resident and been long involved, and we've had that discussion, and obviously
it can be watched online
if
you have an internet connection.
At the same time. That is at the time that
slowspan.org.
So
thank you,
to
sir.
Watch it while it's going on. Mm-hmm.
You can also hear the recording of the meeting.
Yes, I've done that.
Yeah, when I missed one, I listened to it.
And the replays are also available, obviously, online. The replays are available online. You can watch
they
it
are?
Live or you can watch it replayed.
Are you sure?
For just the 2 weeks before the next meeting.
Well, yeah. That's like it is on the television as well. Okay, so you can get replays. Okay, there you go.
You can always call AGP Video, and they will cut you. They will burn you a CD. Mm-hmm. How much is that for, sir?
$10 to $20. I can't remember.
There you have it.
Okay.
Okay.
I've had occasion to have a CD burned by them on a different matter. It was cost $25.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Great. Yeah, gas prices. Okay, I do have one communication if no one else has anything. I did receive a request from the city of Rio Grande.
Oh, yeah.
And they are, in fact, going through their 100th anniversary of incorporation. Is that right? They've been incorporated for 100 years?
Why?
Yeah, 1911.
So basically, I'd like to see if there's a consensus to place a resolution recognizing the 100th anniversary of incorporation for the city of Rio Grande. And I believe if we could do this on our next meeting, then I would be more than happy to go to one of the meetings or arrange with the mayor a time to go and present the resolution or proclamation to them.
I thought it was kind of interesting they gave us a sample.
They all do. That's how they all. It's not just them. It's others. So
yeah,
I'm pro.
Let's do that.
Yes.
Okay.
Sure. Let's party. Maybe they'll pay for it.
I think it was just a proclamation, not an invitation.
No, there's an invitation. I think that they also had inquired about us possibly purchasing a banner.
It's not in the budget.
We joke, but that's true. So, City manager, any reports or comments?
No, sir.
City attorney, any reports or comments?
No, sir.
And while you got the mic and the floor, why don't you cover our closed session item this evening?
Certainly. Thank you, Mayor. Council members, the council intends to meet in closed session following the recess of the open session on one item, and that is labor with